Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Dr. Vera Hughes, is red hot for the Messiah. She was raised in a church. She was told she was okay. Every week she'd go and confess her sins. And she was told, you're going to go to heaven. Just be a member of this church. I'm wondering how many people are in churches throughout the world that are told they're okay, but they really have not had an encounter with the living God. Well, Vera had the All-American family. She's successful. She's a doctor. Her husband's successful. They have a beautiful child. Then she goes for the second child, another beautiful child, but she starts hemorrhaging. She had 6 surgeries. She had 39 blood transfusions. Her body totally shut down. She had a stroke. She was paralyzed. Her eyesight failed her. Physical therapist, they would work on her. It was agonizing, but there wasn't anything they could do for her. But what happened to the paralysis, Vera Hughes?
What happened, Sid, was they told me that I would be paralyzed and the physical therapist would start working on me. And they did one physical therapy on me. They came back the next day, and I remember moving my leg. I was totally healed. The paralysis was gone. But remember, my kidneys weren't functioning. My kidneys were healed. Day after day after day, everything that was wrong with me was totally healed.
Except for your eyes, what was going on?
So I remember one evening they had moved me from ICU to a regular room. And I had a really darling roommate. And she had a visitor that came in to see her one evening. And this visitor came into the room and talked to her. And the lady said, my friend now, she had this surgery, a traumatic surgery, and she can't see. And, you know, so the lady told me, you know, she's so glad that, you know, I'm well and all. And she told me that, you know, I need to read the book of John. And I told her, I can't see. And as this visitor, actually is around 8 o'clock p.m. that evening, and most guests can't stay in the hospital past 8. And I remember the nurses coming in and, you know, checking our vitals, and it appeared that they didn't see this woman. So they kept coming in because I thought, I wanted to tell the lady to leave because you're going to get in trouble because visiting hours are over. But this lady kept going on and talking to me. She handed me this Bible. She said, I want you to start reading the book of John. And said, as I start reading, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, I could see more and more. And as I kept reading, I could see more and more. And my eyesight came back as I was reading the book of John. And the thing about this visitor, what I noticed is, it was well until like 10:30, 11 o'clock. And she kept telling me, well, I have to go to this prayer meeting at midnight. And
What kind of prayer meetings are at midnight?
I didn't know. I said, why is she going? And that was my question. Why was she going to a prayer meeting at midnight? She said, I got to leave because I have to go pray at midnight. And she kept going back and forth. She had me keep reading and reading. And I remember crying, said, I can see. I can see now. My eyesight is restored. And all of a sudden, she said, I have to leave now. And so I didn't think much about it. I was so happy. I remember hugging me and saying that God loves me and my life is going to get better and better and I'm going to be restored to healing, total healing of everything. I'm not going to have any problems and I'm going to get out of here. And that lady walked out the room. And the next day I knew that people had to register, you know, in the hospital, and especially if they stayed that long. And they, on the books, I didn't see a name of a person trying to visit us. So I asked the nurse that night, the same nurse who was taking care of that evening, I said, do you remember that lady who came in there visiting us late last night? And the lady said, what lady? I said, listen, the woman that was here last night, she stayed after visiting hours. She stayed till about 11:30-ish, maybe 11:45. And all of a sudden, the lady said, there was no one in the room. And she actually thought maybe I was hallucinating or something like that. So And I said, no. And I told my roommate, didn't the lady come last night? She said, yes. But the nurse said, she thought we were talking to each other. She never saw any.
What did the physical therapist say when she saw you were totally healed?
She couldn't believe it. She said, what did I do? I said, nothing. I was so surprised myself because I didn't believe that my leg would move, but it moved. And I was up and I was standing up. I couldn't believe it.
What did the eye doctor say when you could see?
I called my husband that morning. I said, honey, I could see. And I knew he was a little apprehensive also because he knew I couldn't see anything anymore. And I told my doctor that came in, I can't see. He said, really? And again, they had the eye doctor come and check my vision again.
What about the hepatitis B that you picked up from all those blood transfusions?
It was weakening my body. And they told me, well, hepatitis B is going to take a while to get rid of it. And all of a sudden, they would check my blood every day. Said it was completely gone out of my body.
What I understand is that it never leaves your blood.
I have no, to this day right now, I have no symptoms at all of getting off that pacemaker. I can walk perfectly. I can run. I can leap. I can see. I have no problems whatsoever to this day.
So Vera, why didn't you end up in hell? Why did Jesus stop you? Why did Jesus send you back to live? Why did Jesus heal you? Why?
You know, I believe, I believe with all my heart said that God had a plan for my life and not for my life. He knew.
I just remembered that dream you had when you were 13. That's the same dream that you had. What happened to you?
Yeah, because Sid, I took that dream. I didn't believe in that dream, but it was very prophetic dream because God was showing me what I would do for him later, that one day I would get born again and my destination is heaven. And he had a plan for me, Sid. He has a plan for so many people. But, you know, my plan, I had my own dreams. I took what he wanted me to do. I believe I could be in politics and live anywhere way I wanted. And I did figure I'd get born again one day, maybe when I was around 80. I sure did. Too early to get saved and be born again and serve the Lord. I didn't want all that. But he had a plan for my life. He knew, as my aunt said, God has something special for you. And now today, because of this testimony, people are getting saved, set free, and delivered. Healings are taking place. God is using me in so many ways and gifts that's flowing through my life.
Give me some feedback of what is happening to someone that reads your book, From the Gates of Hell to the Gates of Glory.
Basically, for the believer, faith rises. I just had a lady about 2 weeks ago. She bought my book. She read through it, and she said, nice story. But guess what happened? Her cleaning woman came in to clean one day. She saw the book on the shelf, and she, too, was pregnant. And what happened, she said, for some reason now, she's getting paid by the hour to clean this lady's house, so it's probably not a good idea for her to sit down and decide to read a book. But she said the cover captured her. And so she started reading in the name of the book, so she started reading it, and she couldn't put it down. So the lady she was cleaning for came back in the house, and this lady was weeping and crying out, saying, the doctors told me that I'm having complications in pregnancy, that I might hemorrhage when I had a baby. And she said, I do not have to believe that, and I will not die. And my baby will be healthy and whole, and I'm going to walk out there. And her faith rose up. And today, she is a healthy little baby, and she had no complications.
How does this help you day to day, having gone through that experience of death and seeing the gates of hell? What effect does this have on you today?
All my life, I see that. You know what? I live for God every day. I wake up in the morning, Sid, and I say, what do you want me to do? Please send people across my path so I can tell them about your love. I can tell them about true salvation, how that you can say you're a Christian and not be a Christian. But I can minister to them and say that you don't have to go to hell. And many people I meet, they don't believe that there's a hell in this generation. But just to remind them of the story, and they get the book and they read, and they realize that they're just like I was. I was a churchgoer. I didn't believe in God at all. I never knew about his love. I never accepted him. Their lives Because of my testimony.
But you were told, because you went to church, because you said a prayer every week and repented, that you would go to heaven. How many people like you are in churches that have been told they're okay, living like the world, but they've been told they're okay? Never had an encounter with God, but they've been told that they're okay. I think the world is filled with the way you used to be, Vera.
Yes, they are. I meet them every day, Sid, every day.
And what kind of feedback from those people that read your book are you getting?
And other feedback I'm getting is, actually, it was a pastor that came from Africa. I was in a service, and I gave him a copy of my book probably about 6 months ago. And he took it back, and he started reading it. And he, you know, people were living, I guess, in his village. They really didn't believe in hell. But he started reading the book to everyone, and they took that one copy, and they start passing it around. And I'm getting reports of salvations and healings. People are understanding there's a hell to shun and a heaven that God wants you to go to. But these people believe, just like me, that they're okay. It's a deception in this generation.
Well, I believe you're a sign and a wonder so that people don't have to be deceived. I believe that anyone that reads this book, the spiritual scales will come off of their eyes and they're going to see the truth. But what is just as exciting is, because of your experiences and the miracles that happened in your life, when a Christian reads this book, they're going to sell out to God's kingdom. When a Christian reads this book, they're going to have their faith in the invisible realm and in prayer. So, because if people hadn't been praying for you, Vera, I think you'd be in hell right now.
I do too.
Okay, Mishpocha, consider yourself challenged. The book is called From the Gates of Hell to the Gates of Glory. And there's a special word in here from her husband, Dr. Charles Hughes, who went through the caregiving before she was had her full recovery. And this is great encouragement for someone that's a caregiver, for a donation of $17 from the gates of hell to the gates of glory. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.